Under a Gilded Moon by Joe Jordan Lake, performed by Kathleen Gatti. Through clouds of steam that swirled around smokestacks and train tracks and billowing skirts, a whistle sounded from Grand Central Depot's farthest platform. Time to face a past she thought she'd outsmarted, outrun, left safely behind. Top hats and bowlers and swooping feathers bobbed as other passengers hurried toward the platform, toward adventures and escapes and secret intrigues. But Carrie McGregor stood still in this moment she dreaded. For her, the whistle was the sound of a summons to a trip she'd give half of Manhattan not to make. Her head, her whole body throbbed with resentment. "There you are," said a voice from behind. The older woman came to stand at Carrie's shoulder. "I hoped I might find you still here." Carrie met Miss Hobson's gaze, her old teacher's eyes lined at the corners these days, but still full of a steady strength, like an oak you could lean into when you couldn't walk another step. Carrie tried to muster up something to make them both laugh, her old way of handling crises. But her mind, swirling like the smoke, would not focus. Outside, it was still the pitch black of pre-dawn, but gas lanterns lit the depot's platforms in a hazy gold. She looked far down the parallel lines of steel, as if she could make out the silhouette of her future, about to be crushed on the tracks.
"Thank you for coming."
"You know I understand, Carrie, why you feel you've no choice but to go back. And, forgive me, but it has to be said, how much it could cost you." They let the words hang between them a moment, along with the steam and the train station scents of hot steel and wet concrete and roasted chestnuts. Carrie's stomach churned. She'd eaten almost nothing since the telegram came 3 days ago. That was part of the churning. But also, chestnuts smelled to her of troubles. She'd gathered them in milk pails back home to help pay the bills. Even after 2 years away, she still felt bile rise in her throat when she caught the scent of them roasting. Taxes unpaid. Collectors at the cabin door. Her daddy cocking his Remington. "Carrie, you'll recall that I know as few others do how far the tentacles of poverty reach, how that world can suck you back in." Carrie heard the whish of releasing steam and wondered if she was also hearing her lungs giving up the last of their air. "You've worked hard to get to this place. I so hate to see you.
Toss my life away?
You only have one, you know.
Once I've squared things away back home, I could come back." A pause.
"We haven't much power over Columbia's board, not with so many other worthy young women clamoring for scholarship places at Barnard, but you know we would try. So long, that is, as you manage to keep yourself clear of entanglements."